back here again for another episode of The Wrap, and we've been kind of promising this for a couple weeks now that said we were going to have a special guest on, and we do today, and as you can tell, he's way better looking than the two of us, and so, and far smarter than the two of us as well, too, even put together. So my friend, and who I consider to be a mentor, Joel Zabarowski, he is here with us this weekend. He's done some training for us this morning when we're filming this, and he's going to be preaching on a Sunday, and so we just asked him to come in, and he's graciously given of his time to come in and just talk with us. What we really want to focus on today is this concept and this idea, and what I consider and I think is our most important mission, and that is to make disciples. And so we just want to make this kind of conversational and a little bit kind of interview style today. And I guess we'll start, Joel, and ask a question going into it is, what do you often see as the biggest obstacle for people when it comes to disciple making?
That's a big question. Probably a misunderstanding of what disciple making is. We think about in church, you have evangelism and then discipleship, and they're two different things, but disciple making is those things and more. It's evangelism, discipling, growing people, but then also equipping people so that they can do evangelism and help other people to grow. So just a misunderstanding. People think, well, disciple making is discipleship. It's just growing deep in your faith.
Yeah.
It's more than that.
Yeah, which I have found, I don't know if it's this way with Joel, but Joel is part of a ministry called Sun Life Ministries, which again, check them out, please. It's very easy. Sunlife.com. Don't go to the other sunlife.com.
We'll have that in the show notes.
Yeah. Oh, show notes. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you go there, check that stuff out. But I've learned that the dirty word at Sun Life is discipleship.
Yeah.
We don't talk discipleship. We talk disciple making. And they are two, very different things. Like I said, kind of some misunderstandings that people have about things. So, yeah, we often talk about discipleship, and that's what people think. So tell me, I don't know if I've ever really heard the story, Joel, of who kind of mentored and discipled you as you were growing up.
Good question. I've had several great disciplers or rabbis or mentors in my life. A guy named Rob, who's 5 years older than me, when I was in high school, he was in college, and he just sort of discipled me as a young believer, studying the Word, memorizing Scripture, fasting and praying and those types of things, holy living to, you know, resist temptation, say yes to Christ, no to the flesh, self-control, those types of things. Then in college, I was a student body chaplain, and our adult school chaplain would meet with me once a week and disciple me. And then when, as a young pastor, had a guy named Lou, and he was a senior pastor of mine. And he, in fact, just the last couple of weeks, he and I have been working together over the last couple of months with a church up in Traverse City, doing some discipling of their pastoral staff together. And he really mentored me, discipled me, and I'd been aware of and involved with Sun Life Ministries, was doing disciple making in our student ministry. But Lou showed me how to do it throughout the church. And then after I moved to Montana, planted a church there, a pastor in our district named Doug, and then currently a pastor in Michigan named Don, the last 9-10 years has been that mentor. So all the way along, I've had like this Paul in my life, different guys who have mentored me as a pastor, as a disciple maker, and just by helping me practically implement Jesus' strategy. You asked, I'm going to back up a little bit to the first question, Ryan. You know, what's one of the biggest obstacles? You know, first of all, not understanding what disciple making is, but what's the right model for disciple making? Because you got this guy's book, this guy's church. But we go back to the life of Jesus, the Son's life. Keep it simple. How did he make disciples? Let's make disciples like Jesus, because he sent us to do the things he had been doing. So these guys, Doug and Don and Lou, they really helped me to implement Jesus' model for ministry. And that's what you and I are doing in the work that we do together, just helping you to implement those things here at New Heights.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it seems like a pretty good idea to me to follow a guy who over 2,000 years ago, kind of started this whole process. And again, we talked with the group we had this morning, that we're here today in products of what they did over 2,000 years ago. Yeah. So let's maybe go with that model rather than some guy's book, you know, as rare those things are. So Levi, I'm going to kind of maybe lean on you a little bit. Joel did some training with us this morning, kind of walked us through just some really kind of
great training, by the way, too.
Yeah, it was great stuff.
Really solid. And
Again, by the way, too, show notes probably for that as well, too, that we do have
we can link to that as well.
But what is something or a couple things that really jumped out at you as part of what Joel talked about this morning as it has to do with disciple making?
I think what really jumped out to me and something that I really need to get better with in my own life and in my own walk is having those people I'm pouring into constantly, you know, and having that, you know, I feel like I've realized the need for somebody to be mentor to me, but realizing too that I need to be mentoring others. And I mean, some of that, you know, is kind of built in with youth ministry, but intentionally taking someone along with me on the journey. Yeah. So I think that's something that really popped out to me, and making sure, and you know, we did that rest and retreat conference with you last week, and the realization of, hey, I can't spend all my time in the office, right? Like, I've got to get out and
be friends with people
who are not in the church, yeah, or I'm not effective, you know, and making sure that I'm making those intentional relationships. I think this is big.
Yeah. I do think on the other hand too, I often think about this way. So certainly we are to be winning the lost and mm-hmm. to you know, be helping them to grow in their path to become more like Christ. But I think we often miss like a very obvious part of it is, especially as pastors in a church, we have people all around us who are just, I'm convinced, hungry and almost mm-hmm. parched and dying to do something more.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, part of disciple making is, yes, winning the lost and bringing them alongside of it. But a big part of it as well, too, is like you've got people that are right around you that you need to be pouring into.
Right.
That to me was very helpful to always look at that little kind of pyramid, you know, the three mm-hmm. non-believers, the two that are believers that you're pouring into, and then that one kind of co-worker and leader that you're sharing life with as well, too. So I just think sometimes we just think of disciple making, and like you were talking earlier, discipleship and evangelism, where you only go win the loss. Well, that's good, but disciple making is kind of all of that. You
know? And remembering it's not a class that you're sending them through, right? We're doing life together. We're experiencing things together. We're seeking the scriptures together. We're, you know, it's not a, you know, 5 weeks and you're done kind of thing, you know, that the church is so often guilty of shoving it into, right? Like, you're discipled now.
Yeah.
Good job, right?
Exactly.
You guys are talking about that equipping element. When you think about Jesus, so he modeled winning the lost, mm-hmm. growing the believer, but then equipping the worker. And that's where in a lot of churches we cut the line there of how do we equip people to do the work of the mm-hmm. ministry? We got people who love the Lord, want to serve him. They're like, how do I do it? And that's what this morning was about, was equipping people. How can I start making disciples? And I think about when I planted a church 15 years ago for the first time, I saw that a pastor's role, ministry leader's role, is Acts chapter 6, to be in the Word, teach the Word, be in prayer, and then Ephesians chapter 4, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I'm like, those are the three things I've got to do well in the church. And then I give everybody else the joy and the freedom to do the work of the ministry. So I don't go visit everybody in the hospital. Yep. I don't do every single ministry task. I've equipped people so they can do those things, and then they get joy when they serve people, when they do ministry. And then also on the other side, when we die and we stand before the Father, we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's rest. But we get rewards, and the more opportunities I give other people to serve, the more I equip them, the more the rewards they get in heaven, the more people that are.
That's
so I'm depriving them of rewards in heaven by doing all the work and not letting people do it. So I try to keep that eternal.
Great thought. Yeah. I mean, how different things would have been if Jesus would have just hogged all the ministry. So, well, I'm going to do this myself.
Because truth be told, he could have, he did it better,
he
right?
Yeah, he did it a lot better, yeah. But that would have defeated the purpose. And exactly. I'm convinced, you mentioned Ephesians 4, and that's one I did come back to all the time. I'm convinced that's like the lost chapter for the church. Like we just, yeah. That's just, to me, that's in a lot of ways the key that unlocks so many yeah. things and makes things crystallize and come into focus and gives us a really great purpose, especially as pastors, but as a church as a whole. And if we miss that, we miss a whole lot.
And we want, the three of us, we want people to become mature. I mean, that's right. a prayer that I have for everybody in my church, that God would grow them to become mature. And in that Ephesians 4 passage, as we equip the saints for ministry, achieving maturity. Mm-hmm. So people will not become mature in their faith unless they're equipped and doing ministry. So maturity doesn't happen just by being in chair two. And as a believer, growing deeper and deeper, more knowledge, more godly, but that maturity happens when I've been equipped and I'm doing that ministry too.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it was one of the most eye-opening things to me and continues to be with Sun Life and partnering with you guys is for most of my life and most of my ministry, I spent it doing just very much chair one, chair two. I'm very happy just to win people to Christ once they're believers. All right, now go back on to something else. And you were missing me, the biggest part of the process. And that's what, you know, Jesus says, I want you to bear fruit, more fruit, but much fruit, you know, and multiplying there. Joel, share, if you would, I know this kind of maybe stretch of mind a little bit. What has been one of your biggest frustrations in disciple making?
Oh, man, some of them are frustrated with myself. Like you were saying, Levi, I can invest in people and say, okay, we're doing a good job here. And that can just sort of hand them off. They're growing and doing their thing. And then I just sort of, my default is comfortability. My default is to just love the Lord, serve the Lord. But then I'm an introvert, not an extrovert. So I'm not looking for more people. So I get frustrated with myself if I'm not actively discipling people like I want to, and like I think Jesus is telling me to. But as far as people that I'm discipling, in our culture, busyness has overcome people and consumed people with doing too many things, where Jesus and following him just becomes another option rather than being consumed by Jesus. Yeah. I mean, like if our life is a pie, you've got work, you've got school, you've got relationships, you've got church. And Jesus is just a part of that pie, where following Christ, we've got these pieces of the pie, work and family and school and our neighbors. And then Jesus is a whipped cream on every piece nice. Of that pie.
I like that.
And for disciples, if they say, well, I'm too busy to get involved in this, or that's a frustration for me. A frustration can be when I've served in local churches. When I've started the church, we can set our own DNA. Mm-hmm. But when most churches are disciple making hasn't become their priority, where it's just, okay, everybody just come, you know, put in your time, go home.
That type of thing. Take in some information and then just, come back again next week for some more of it.
Yeah.
There's no connection between Sunday morning and the rest of the week.
Yeah.
You know, is really what becomes. Yeah. So that's your greatest frustration. Like, can you think of, though, on the opposite side of it, one of your kind of greatest joys, or I hate to use the word success because that sounds so like vain and carnal, but like one of those stories that's been like your biggest joy in disciple making that you can think of.
Yeah, it's really true. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus sent out the 12. Two by two, and they went and they shared the gospel with people. He equipped them to do ministry, and then they were doing ministry. And then about 6 months later, in Luke chapter 10, he sent out the 72. And I think some of those 72 were being discipled by the 12. So if each of those 12 had six under them, they were discipling. And those 72 went out in Luke chapter 10. And in verse 21, it says that when they returned to him, Jesus was full of joy. It's the only time in the New Testament, or the Old Testament, that it says that Jesus was full of joy. And what brought him great joy was the disciples of his disciples bearing fruit in ministry. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say when my own children, whom I've discipled, are doing ministry and reaching people and growing in maturity, that brings me joy. Or when I was sharing some pictures this morning of Julio and Dante and people that I've discipled, and then they're reaching other people, That brings me joy. More than me doing the ministry, when people that I've equipped are doing ministry,
Yeah, that's where it's at.
That's brilliant. You guys were in Ohio last week. You defected to the enemy over there.
Yeah, exactly. Across the border.
We did.
And you guys are people that God's given me the privilege to link arms with and invest in a little bit. And seeing guys like you that I love and respect and see God working in and God's hand on you, meeting some other friends that I've had the same privilege with, that brings me great joy. Just men of God who are doing the work of God, imitating the Son of God. I didn't plan that, by the way. That just came.
Way to go, man. You should trademark that, by the way.
That brings me joy to see that's the answer there.
For sure. Levi, do you have anything that pops in your mind, like a question that you would like to pose to Joel about disciple making?
I think you pretty much covered that.
Thanks for giving me that heads up ahead of time.
So sorry. Well, I think we'll end with this. And so a big part of this is not just us sitting up here talking for our own benefit. We do have people who watch. And I think what a lot of people think, and probably everybody that's going to watch this, is be like, well, that's great, but you guys are three pastors, and that's what you're supposed to do. So you should know how to do this.
You're the hired hand.
You're the
right?
hired hand. You should. I say it for myself, we struggle just as much as anybody else does with disciple making and putting our head around it. And you're talking about being an introvert, that's me. I call myself a forced extrovert because by nature I'm an introvert. So what I'm asking here, Joel, is for those who are going to be watching this, who are probably not going to be a lot of pastors, and you had just a little bit of time just to tell them and encourage them that disciple making is not just for guys like us, it's for everybody. What would you say to that average viewer of the rap?
Oh, two things. This is in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is what Jesus told us to do. It wasn't, a dictate to the pastors. This was to all of us as disciples to make disciples.
Because I'm going to jump in there because a lot of times people misunderstand and think, okay, that's fine. You're getting ready to say this, Joel, but that was really just the 11 guys, right? Mm-hmm. No, we understand that there were the whole group of disciples probably when Jesus is giving this mandate and this commission. It's not just 11 guys.
Right.
It's a greater audience than that. So
exactly. Yeah. Greater audience. And in the sermon tomorrow, you're going to listen to this after the sermon's done. It really is how part of being a disciple is making a disciple. And there's really simple steps that we all can do. It's not, I need a seminary degree or anything. Right. There's specific things Jesus did, and I can simply imitate him. And when his disciples started making disciples in Book of Acts, they were referenced as ordinary, uneducated men, just like anybody, any of us, that they were.
Yeah, those boys certainly weren't seminary trained.
No.
They weren't.
But they had been with Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if we're spending time with Jesus, we can. We absolutely can. This church can make disciples, everybody, no matter what age. Even if I've only been following Jesus for a year, I can still be influencing somebody and helping them along. It's not that difficult. Yeah. It can be, but you brought up the word intentional, Levi.
It's got to be intentional.
Intentional. God leading me and helping me. And that's what the pastoral staff is there for, to help people to make disciples, not make all the disciples themselves.
Yeah. Actually, I spent some time bivocationally, and that was an easier time for me, I feel like, to be a disciple maker because, people knew I was a Christ follower at the job I was at. And, if they were going through something tough, they would ask me questions, I didn't have to. I mean, those were just normal, everyday relationships that I had that, they felt like they could talk to me. And so I feel like it was almost easier in that workplace scenario than it is even for a minister, where all my 9-to-5 is here at the church.
I wouldn't call it a crazy dream, but I sit and just think sometimes, and this is so odd because bivocational pastors are much more prevalent today than they've ever been. And that was just something that was unheard of. I sometimes look at guys, I'm like, I wish that sometimes I could be a bivocational pastor. Now somebody's going to watch us and be like,
cut his salary in half.
We can make that happen.
Just in case the finance committee is watching this right now.
Yeah. Cut this out. No, but seriously, you're right. I've shared a lot of times too, before I came to this church, I was 4 months in a Toyota plant. I felt like that was probably the greatest ministry that I had was there at that toilet. And I was like, that's so odd. And that's so sad, actually, at the same time, too. The pastors sometimes can't do the ministry they want to do inside of the church, that they have to go outside of the church for that. But it's also a blessing, like you said, that you've got those outlets and just natural built-in people who are lost and who are searching and who are desperate, you know, for Jesus.
So I feel like that's more of a, like, that's a way to encourage people, you know, if you're not in ministry, if you're not a vocational minister, you're in prime, prime mission real estate right there, you know?
And the big thing is the equipping. And that's where you get pastors at the church here can equip people. That's what this morning was. And tomorrow's sermon, after you're going to watch it after the sermon, is just equipping people. How can I do this?
Yeah.
And it's not rocket science. It's just intentional. And a lot of times what I need is accountability. There's somebody to make sure, hey, are you praying for your lost friends? Have you reached out to one lost person this month? Are you just, you know, intentional and accountable?
Yeah. And so I would end by saying that everybody can do this. And again, we'll have it in the show notes, but really check out sunlife.com. They've got so many great resources that would help you personally, individually, and to gather in just groups to be able to work through the life of Christ and that stuff together. And then as well, like that, we always say, one of our big things here at New Heights is, and part of the reason we do the wrap is that we want to come alongside you. We want to be praying for you. We want to be equipping you. And so if you're really wanting to get intentional and serious about being a disciple maker and you find these resources at Sun Life and you're like, what do I do with this? Levi and myself would love to come alongside you and to just walk through that process. We're not perfect. We don't have it all figured out, but we have a passion and a desire and a heart to help you grow and to grow to be a disciple maker. And so, Joel, thanks for joining us
this
afternoon. Really honored. And again, like I said, check out Sun Life. Check out some things that we'll have, some training that Joel has done. Definitely check out his sermon. Just really great stuff.
Sermon will be in the show notes as well.
There you go. Sermon show notes as well. And you can have that. So again, guys, thank you for joining us for another episode of The Wrap. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.